following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of AM 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel Broadcasting. Listeners should not use Dr. Kavitko's comments and advice in the place of receiving an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kavitko on AM 1230 WYTS. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kavitko on AM 1230 WYTS.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me on this great Sunday morning. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kavitko here on AM 1230 WYTS. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. So, it's a great day, and I'm very excited today because we're going to have, or we have with us in the studio, the Dean of the Ohio State University College of Dentistry, Dr. Carol Anderson, and we're going to introduce her in just a little bit. First, I want to go over some announcements and our Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. Okay, starting with anyone who hasn't picked up a copy of Capital Style Magazine, go ahead and do so. It's on newsstands now, and you'll see a short little story about me on page 74. Thanks for tuning in to NBC4 back on March 20th. I know some of you watched Daytime Columbus when I was on there with Gail Hogan. And remember, on April 24th, we're going to be on again. And what we have done is we have a woman by the name of Jen, and we brought her in and we showed her current smile, and we're going to do a trial smile. A smile makeover for her, which is in the works, by the way. And on April 24th, you'll get to see the finished result. So remember that. That is 11 in the morning on April 24th, NBC4. On April 29th, and this is kind of a tie-in to today's guest, I'm going to be a celebrity guest judge at the Ohio State University College of Dentistry's Clinical Excellence Day. It's my second year in a row for doing this, and I'm very honored to be asked to do it. I think it's a great program, and I hope to talk to Dean Anderson here a little bit about it. On April 30th, I will be an awards presenter at the Clintonville Area Chamber of Commerce's Good Citizens Breakfast. And I think that is also a great cause because these are the kids that are going to be the leaders of tomorrow, and we want to recognize them for their community service and their great work in the classroom. Then on Saturday, May 2nd and Sunday, May 3rd from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., my staff and I will have a booth at the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium as we participate in Columbus Parent Magazine's Expo, where there will be thousands and thousands of families. So come out. It's a great time, lots of fun, lots of things for the kids. And the zoo has a new elephant, a new calf, although they haven't named him yet, and I don't think he'll be on display by then. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure they're going to leave him kind of secluded with mom for a while. Don't forget to send us an email if you would like to be notified when my book, Dentistry for Kids, What Every Parent Should Know, is available. You can call the office at 262-9588 or send an email to drkavitko@aol.com and we'll put your name on the list. All right, Dr. Kavitko's question of the day is, when a group of dentists were asked if they had noticed a drop in demand for in-office tooth whitening since the recession began, what percent said yes? You can email us your questions to dentallyspeaking on am1230@yahoo.com, or you can give us a call at 821-1230. Okay, and then we'll give the answer out later on in the day, but I am curious. I want to know what you're thinking. So, let me just introduce my guest. And again, I'm very honored to have her here with me in the studio because, Dr. Carol Anderson currently serves as the newly appointed dean of the College of Dentistry. Prior to her deanship appointment, she served as interim dean of the College of Dentistry beginning in 2006. So she's hardly new to this job. She's been doing it for 3 years, a little over 3 years. Prior to that, she was the interim dean of the Graduate School and vice provost for academic policy and faculty resources. As vice provost, a position she still retains, she's responsible for all faculty-related matters, including university-level reviews for promotion and tenure, dean's reviews, academic policy. Prior to her appointment as vice provost, Dr. Anderson served as the dean of the Ohio State University College of Nursing for 15 years. So she brings a lot of experience with her to the job. I believe the dental school is in great hands, and I'm just so happy to have her here in the studio. So, Dr. Anderson, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was awful nice of you to get up so early. Although I'm thinking you don't get to where you are by sleeping in very much.
That's true. That's true.
So, you know, I want to, before we get started, I want to talk about Clinical Excellence Day, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Because I'm not sure how long it's been going on, and I have a feeling that it started under your purview, but I know that it's something that is near and dear to my heart, because I feel like what we're teaching our young doctors is that we have to teach them excellence. We have to teach them to be absolutely perfect, because we know that there are days when you're not absolutely perfect, but if you start off with excellence, even if you're having a bad day, you're still really, really good.
Right.
And so how did this, do you know how this
I don't
event?
Know. I really don't know. It was going on in the college when I came, so it's not something that I did. But I think we also have a research day, and this is our clinical day, Clinical Excellence Day, to really showcase students' work and the excellence that they're doing in their practice.
And I don't know if you've listened to the show or not, but I did a couple episodes called How to Survive the Economic Climate, the Current Recession, with Your Teeth Intact. And one of the things that I talked about primarily was go to the dental school.
That's right.
If money is tight and you want excellent care, then rather than going to a mall dental office or you know what I'm talking about, the offices that are maybe not that solo practitioner or a couple doctors, go to the dental school, because you'll get excellent care. You just have to pay with your time instead of your money is the biggest thing.
That's correct. The student-run clinics do take more time, but they do excellent work. The students take a lot of time, and they take a lot of pride in what they're doing. So, and the fees are substantially less.
Right, it's something like a half to two-thirds?
Something like that, right.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, if you want to save money and still get excellent care, that's where I suggest people go. In fact, I would say there's not a week that goes by that I don't give somebody the phone number, which is 292-2751. I just haven't memorized. It's just the number that's on the tip of my tongue. So the faculty members there will make sure that the care you receive is excellent. They will ask the student to maybe do something over if it doesn't pass muster. They'll encourage them to take their time to do it right the first time. But I would say that you're in good hands there, and I don't have personal knowledge of some of the other choices out there.
Well, we also have specialty clinics. So we have the general clinic that the dental students do, but we also have the specialty clinics, too, like orthodontia and endodontia. So
that's right. That's
we really
right.
have those clinics as well. So it's really, in addition to, I think, being less expensive care, we also have the referral capacity if you have other kinds of problems.
That's right. Now, I forgot to mention that in my show, so I'm glad you brought that up. So, for example, if somebody needs gum surgery and their general dentist has said you need gum surgery, and you're thinking, but I can't afford that, what do? They could call that number I gave.
That's right.
And they could say, my dentist said I need gum surgery. Can I have it done here? And that number I gave is a general number. They'll be referred to, say, the periodontal graduate
That's
clinic.
That's correct. Right.
And the same with the root canal, and with oral surgery, like
wisdom teeth, braces, orthodontia.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. That's great. That's good. I mean, I think people in Central Ohio don't realize how lucky they are to have such a nice institution right here. And, I mean, in towns where there is no dental school, your options are very much limited.
Right. Well, last year we saw 15,000 patients.
15,000?
15,000 patients.
Well, that's a lot more than I saw. I'm curious, how many dental chairs does the dental school have? Do you have any idea? Because I was just pondering this.
We have 50 for the dental,
undergraduate
for the dental students, for the undergraduate clinic, and then we have others for the graduate clinics.
50.
And then a faculty practice. So we have really three levels of care.
I hope that you get a discount on dental chairs, because I know what mine cost.
They're expensive commodities.
They are. And that kind of also leads us to a question that I have. I was noticing that the cost of a dental education is actually more than the cost of a medical education. And maybe I want to get your opinion, but I think it has to do with I guess it's just such so labor intensive, all of the materials that you use. But for a dental education, it adds up to something like $27,627 for a year, which includes mandatory fees and equipment. Or that's for in-state, $56,688 for out-of-state. And compared to a physician, a medical degree, which is $27,232, which is about $300 less for in-state, but only $41,652 for out-of-state, a good $15,000 less. So why would you say it is so expensive to train a dentist or to go to dental school?
Well, the dental school and the medical school really have the option at Ohio State of setting their own tuitions. And we typically try to set it along with the university's tuition, but also in line with our benchmark institutions. And I don't know why the medical school is less. I do know that they are encouraging more out-of-state students, and we put a limit on out-of-state students. We only admit 25 out-of-state students, and right now they're admitting, I don't know, I shouldn't say for sure, but they admit a larger percentage of out-of-state students.
And the current class size is it 90?
No, it's a little over 100, 106.
106, so 25 of those are allowed to be out-of-state. So that bodes well for residents of the state of Ohio. If you're growing up in Ohio, you have a much better chance then of becoming a dentist if that's what you are choosing.
And because we're the only public dental school in Ohio, unlike medical schools, there are several medical schools, we feel very strongly that we have to limit the number of out-of-state students so that we can meet the needs of Ohioans for dental health.
Yeah, I remember when I was applying, I was just so nervous that I wasn't going to get in, I heard the statistic, and maybe you don't know it exactly, but are there something like 12 applicants for every opening?
We had almost 1,200 applications last year for the 106.
Right. Yeah, that's amazing. And that means there can be students out there. If the students are up and listening, and I know it is early, but maybe if you've gotten up to go to church, and pay attention, because you have to have good grades. You have to study hard to get into dental school. And there are cases, I'm sure, of people with 4.0s that didn't get in. Because there was someone else with a 4.0 that was maybe more well-rounded, maybe had done some things like student council, maybe some of the clubs or a sports team. And so, but don't give up, because I also know that the admissions committee likes perseverance. If you have the grades and you have a resume and you show them that they're serious, I believe you'll ultimately get in if you're willing to keep trying.
That's true.
Yeah. There are cases, of course, where you just don't qualify, grades aren't there, and there are some cases where people need to kind of really look in the mirror and say, you know what, I guess I'm just not dentist caliber.
That's true.
And move on.
That's true.
Okay, so we're going to get back to some of that, because it's very interesting to me. So before you joined the dental school, I know that I talked about your background, and is there anything that I left out that you'd like us to know? Because I want to follow up with taking all that information and all that background that you bring with you to the job. What are your most important plans for the college now that you're at the helm of the College of Dentistry?
Well, one of the things we've done this year, as have all the colleges on campus, is to develop a strategic plan. The new provost asked every college, every dean, to develop a strategic plan for the college. So that's one of the things we've done, and that's going to guide us in the near term. And strategic plans used to be thought of for 5 years or more, but not anymore. Things change so rapidly. So we're thinking it's a 3 to 5 year plan. Most of it really has to do with quality improvement and increased efficiencies and actually increasing the number of patients in the clinics and providing for more experiences of our students and those kinds of things. But a big part of it has to do with enhancing the educational program for our dental students.
Now, I had someone tell me yesterday that they thought Ohio State University College of Dentistry was one of the top dental schools in the nation, and they thought it was in the top three. I don't really know, but I know, I think a lot of the university, how are we doing?
Well, I think we're doing pretty well. Unfortunately, or fortunately, however you might think about it, dental schools aren't ranked.
Oh, okay. That's how I couldn't find out. Maybe that's why I didn't know.
That's right. Dental schools aren't ranked. So we're really not able to say. I think certainly the reputation is a very strong one. And in the results of our surveys and that of our students after they graduate indicate that we really produce a very high-quality clinician, and the students are very pleased with their education. And when we go out to, for example, program directors of specialty programs and ask how our students are, we're ranked very highly. They're really, really very clinically competent.
Good. So the GPR residencies, which is, I know I said GPR is a residency,
right.
And the advanced general dentistry residencies, those programs are reporting back that the students come well prepared.
Very well prepared, right. And our students say they're very well prepared. If they go out into other, either practice with other recent graduates or if they go to these programs, they feel very well prepared.
Good. That's great. I know that I take my job seriously, I take the word doctor seriously, and when I say that I was trained at the Ohio State University College of Dentistry, I take that seriously as well. So it's good for me to know that the students that are graduating this year and next year and so on are going to kind of carry the flag, are going to make me proud to say that I went to Ohio State University College of Dentistry. So now, as part of your strategic plan, one of the plans you have, you've given it a name, it's called the Dent Path Program. And can you tell me about that?
The Dent Path Program is a program for primarily for minority students who, if they apply, they're really, they're not quite as qualified to get in this year because of the admission is very competitive. But it appears to the admissions committee that with a little more work, they could be competitive.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened. So it's a year-long post-baccalaureate program to really strengthen their basic science knowledge.
So it's somebody, it's saying, that's really neat. We can see that you can do this. We see you have potential. If you'll spend a year with us, we'll work on the rough edges and get everything smoothed out so that you'll be ready to roll.
Right. It's been a very, there's also a MedPath program, so there's a comparable program in the medical school. It's been very successful. The students that finished the program, we require they finish with a 3-point, have been successful. They come into dental school, they're automatically admitted if they finish with a 3-point, and they finish and they're very successful in dental school.
When do you get into this program? Is it when you get your 4-year degree?
Yes, after you've applied to the dental school.
Okay.
And you're chosen, the admissions committee chooses you specifically for this program.
Oh, okay. So my daughter is about to graduate as a vet student, and I remember when she applied, or rather when she had her interview, they told her you would be receiving one of three letters. One is you didn't get in, one is you did get in, congratulations, and the other one would have been we're still thinking.
Yeah.
You're saying there's a fourth letter that goes out for the dental school.
Right, for the dent, right.
That says, we think you're a good candidate for the Dent Path program.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Which has got to be better than getting the one that says you're not in.
That's correct.
I think I would take that. I think I would go with that. What's the average, and maybe you don't know this at the tip of your tongue, but what is the average GPA for an incoming dental student, or the most recent statistic that you have?
3.7,
that's average.
Yes.
Which means, and there's lots of 4 points, so you...
That's correct.
You can't be... Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Kids out there who are thinking about becoming a dentist.
That's right.
You have to study. When my daughter decided she wanted to be a veterinarian at age 6, I told her, I said, that's really great. Just so you know, you have to be very smart in school. You have to do your homework. And even then, you're not guaranteed getting in. But if you do everything right... Things like volunteering at a vet office and going to the zoo and, you know, things like that, just getting as much experience as you can, then there's a real good chance. And she spent her entire life from age 6 working towards getting into vet school. And, you know, congratulations to her for getting in, because on June 11th, I believe, is she'll be getting her veterinary medicine degree. I'm very proud
good
of that.
For her.
None of my kids have chosen dentistry as a path. I have 4 children. There's one still who is a chemistry major, who says, I don't really know what I want to do yet, so there's still hope. But I haven't encouraged or discouraged my kids from following in my path. I want it to be their decision.
Sure.
Whatever it is that they choose to do is fine with me. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Anderson, Dean of the Ohio State University College of Dentistry. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on Talk 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back.
You're always in my heart, from early in the morning till it's dark. I gotta see your sweet, sweet smile every day.
AM 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Good morning, everyone. I am General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask. And today in the studio with me is Dr. Carol Anderson, Dean of the Ohio State University College of Dentistry, and we're going to get back to our discussion with her in just a moment. But before we do, I want to give out a couple guesses that have come in to our question of the day. Dr. Kvitko's question of the day today is, when a group of dentists were asked if they had noticed a drop in demand for in-office tooth whitening since the recession began, what percent said yes? Kay emailed us a guess that said 80%, and Mark emailed a guess that said 39%, and neither of these is correct, but please keep your guesses coming in. Also, at the top of the show, I forgot to congratulate the Northland Vikings for winning the state championship in basketball. 60-58, a very, very close game, but they pulled it out. Also, condolences to OSU women's basketball team who lost their bid to make it to the Final Four and ultimately the championship game. But maybe next year. I think that next year bodes well for both teams, honestly. And the Crew pulled out a 1-1 tie, which is much better than a loss and not bad. And also the Blue Jackets, who scored at least 1 point by, although they lost, it was overtime, in a shootout, and so they get a point as well. So they're still marching towards the playoffs, and I'm beginning to think pretty soon they're all going to have to start letting their beards grow. I happen to have a beard myself, but it's not because I'm in the playoffs, and I don't let it keep growing. So anyway, remember also, our show is available by podcast, and what you do is you go to www.am1230wyts.com, and once you get there, hold your mouse over the on-air button. Names pop up, mine being one of them. Click on the word Dr. Kvitko. Takes you to my page. There's a little smile there with the logo in the middle. And if you, and right underneath where the you'll see the polar bear getting a root canal, it says click here to go to podcast page. So, and then you can listen to any show that we've ever done. And each show takes about 40 minutes because we've taken out the commercials. So remember, that's www.am1230wyts.com for that. All right, Dr. Anderson, now we're talking a lot about the school, and one of the things I thought about over the break is this Clinical Excellence Day, which takes place on April 29th. It's an all-day event. You have a morning session and an afternoon session and a speaker at the beginning.
Okay.
And in the and so you'll have different local dentists be celebrity guest judges. And the reason that it's two sessions, I believe, is because sometimes a local dentist can't give up the entire day.
Right.
So the afternoon crew might be a different group than the morning crew.
That's right.
But anyway, I wanted to tell you that I don't. The speaker that you're going to have this year, Dr. Stephen Rasner, I've had him on my show. I've actually heard him speak. And he's going to be on the show again, honestly, on April 11th. I believe that's a Sunday. And, in fact, I don't think my producer knows that yet. But anyway, he's going to be on the show on April 11th. And he does now, exactly. And I'm so excited because the lecture that he gives, as you know, is Achieving Success Through Clinical Excellence. And so I'm just so happy that you're going to have Dr. Rasner, and I want to congratulate you and Dr. Rowland, who's in charge of this, and the committee. I guess it's a whole committee decision for doing that. So any dental students that are up listening, you're in for a treat.
Sounds like it. Sounds like a very good speaker for that day.
Yeah, and I've blocked my entire day off. I'm going to be there.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Last year I found out about it with not a lot of notice and didn't really quite understand it, and so I was just there for the morning and I was sorry that I had to leave. I have spoken to some of the current class members about it, and they're all frantically working to get their cases in order, you know, and unfortunately sometimes that means the patient showing up.
That's
so, for example, right?
That's right.
See, I don't think people realize that something as simple as our patient coming late for their appointment on the day that we are taking our board exam can cause us to flunk.
That's right.
And it's an aspect of becoming a dentist that is so different than every other profession.
Right.
In fact, aren't we the only ones where we still use live patients?
I think that's correct.
Yeah, so if any of you people are listening who have promised your dental student you would sit for them for their exams, please show up on time. Actually, show up early. Bring them donuts. take a cab if your car doesn't start. Do whatever it takes. They'll remember you for the rest of your life. Their lives. Okay, now, I guess I got off task a little bit. But, so the dent path, I think that is very, very cool. Now, you talked about there's also a research day, which I was unaware of. So besides the Clinical Excellence Day, there's a research day where students that are involved in research.
Right.
And then on top of that, I guess there's going to be some more collaboration with the medical center.
Well, we already have a significant amount of collaboration, but in our strategic plan, it calls for even more so. And the medical school just got what's called a translational science grant, which is really training grant, which is really to train healthcare professionals in translational research.
Oh, wait.
And we're participating in that. So several of our dentists are participating in that. So to learn techniques and statistical methods in that for doing translational research, which is from bench to bedside, or chairside in our
case. Yeah. Yeah, that's really neat. Now, I have a son who he went to OSU for undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
Got a microbiology degree.
Okay.
My oldest. And then he went to Cornell for his PhD.
Mm-hmm.
And he just finished that, and he's now at Colorado State doing a postdoc.
Oh.
And we were talking yesterday about how he's so happy that there are people like me and people like physicians who can use the benefits of his research, because he doesn't want to be the people person. He doesn't want to be the one with the bedside or chairside manner. And I said, I'm so happy for people like you who do the research so that I get to use the products and the procedures that you devise, and I get all the accolades. I'm the one that gets the hug, you know, and the handshake. So we're up against another break. There's more to this that we'll talk about when we return. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on AM 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here with Dr. Kvitko. I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. And in the studio with us today, we have Dr. Carol Anderson, who is the Dean of the Ohio State University College of Dentistry. But before we go back to Dean Anderson, let me just tell you that we had a couple guesses for our question of the day. Thomas sent in a guess of 91%, meaning he thinks that 91% of dentists have reported a drop in whitening since the recession began. That's not correct, but that's Thomas's guess. And when William sent in a guess of 52%, honestly, William's a little bit closer than Thomas, so a little hint there. Okay, so we're talking about how the College of Dentistry now is working together with the College of Medicine, or the Medical Center, for doing research and bringing those processes to fruition as far as translating the research into a procedure that would be used, say, bedside. This is a question that is just, I've just wondered. I've wondered about it for a long time, and I think this is a good time to ask it. I see commercials for the OSU Medical Center everywhere. Billboards, basketball games, football games, and I never see a commercial for the dental school, which we talked about earlier, is just a real well-kept secret. And I'm wondering, we've already talked about the clinics and how great they can be and help people save money. Is there anything in the offing, is there anything in process that you know of that would help maybe with a marketing budget for the dental school itself? Because I just think it shouldn't be a best-kept secret.
Well, we do have a marketing budget, and I have a marketing person, Kathleen, that you've met, Kennedy. Unfortunately, I think we just don't have the resources that the medical center has. And the ads that you see are really not College of Medicine ads. They're really the medical center ads.
Oh, so that includes the College of Dentistry.
Well, it's also the hospital. I mean, that's mostly the hospital, the ads that you see.
It just seems that if the dental college or dental services are included, there might be one or two that they could highlight the dental school.
Well, that's a possibility.
So if anybody out there is listening, I know Kathleen, certainly, you know, she would like to see that happen.
Right.
I guess what you're saying is, the disparity in resources
right.
is something that I would like to see change.
That's right. It's really the hospital resources, and we're an educational institution, so it's really the resources of the hospital that are paying for those ads.
Right. So who do I need to talk to get dentistry in the forefront?
Well, I think we're trying with the resources that we have. We're placing ads and print ads, but the kinds of ads you're talking about on television and billboards are really, really expensive.
Yeah, actually, I have personal knowledge of that from what I do, but it just seems like
it's something to think about.
Yeah,
right?
They deserve to be in the forefront than in the background. And I think with the resources coming from the hospital, they could afford one or two a month that highlights the dental school.
Perhaps.
Especially if it says brought to you by the OSU Medical Center,
that's
because
true.
Then they get mentioned as well.
That's
so
true.
That's my plug for
okay.
trying to help you guys
get, try to lobby that.
Get more funding for the dental school and the college in general. Okay. So, there are many dentists in Columbus, as you know, that are OSU alumni.
Yes.
And they've had great training and great experiences as students, such as I had. And can you tell us what's new for the students in the college and what it offers dental students now that it didn't offer when I was a student?
Well, I think there's some things, mostly technology related, in a couple different areas. One is in the classroom. And today's students really want more technology in the classroom, so all our classrooms are equipped with state-of-the-art technology. The most recent request from the students is to podcast or to broadcast the lectures and do it in a way that then they can play it back whenever they want. So today's students want to be able to view the lecture either on their computer or their iPod. So we're working on that right now to make that possible.
That's really neat.
Right.
Now, so you would get it up, it would be on iTunes?
Or something like that, right. We haven't decided what format we're going to use. We just, this quarter, we're doing it with one class, and what we've done is put it up on the university's Carmen website. It's a course website.
Okay.
And so that's what we've done this year, but we're continuing to think about that and different ways of doing that. But I think that's a big difference between when you were in school and what the students want now.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want to be able to play it back again and again and whenever they want, you know, rather than come to class sometimes.
Especially if it was an 8 o'clock class.
That's correct.
Now, I have
to
tell you.
It's 7:30, I think.
It's 7:30 now?
7:30 now.
Okay. I have to tell you that I was one that was always in class, and even now when I go to CE courses, I sit up front, I pay attention, I take notes, because I actually am there to learn something.
There you go.
And I know the professors, the instructors, they couldn't help it, but when half the class hadn't gotten up, and there's this big empty room, and they would spend the first 5 to 7 minutes admonishing those of us who were there for the people that didn't come.
Sort of the wrong focus, isn't
you're talking
it?
To the wrong
that's
group.
That's right, that's right.
But we were the only ones there, so they knew we'd go and tell our classmates, hey, you need to get to class because Dr. So-and-so was not happy. But anyway, okay, and I'm jumping around, and I apologize for that, but I'm just so happy to have you here on the show. I need to get all these questions out. Okay, next question I have is, I know that the admissions committee puts some weight on being well-rounded, and I know that in my class of dental school, included in that class, there was a former hockey player for the Boston Bruins, a card-carrying grotto clown, a commercial airline pilot, and a drummer for a nationally known band. These were their previous lives. Can you share with me any interesting backgrounds of your current students? And we have about 45 seconds, but I can let you go a little long. If I start waving my hand or something, we'll pick it up after the break. But go
well,
on.
The one student that comes to mind is a student that went to architecture school and art school. And he's redoing, you probably remember there was a mural downstairs outside the preclinic lab.
Yes.
Well, he's in the process of redoing that right now. And he volunteers his time. So that's the one student that comes to mind. I think other than that, they're pretty traditional students.
Okay.
We occasionally have a student that's done something else, but nothing as exciting as the four in
so
your
you
class.
So your class, you don't have a class clown right now?
We don't have a class clown right now. No, we don't.
I guess that would have been me anyway, but no, it wasn't me, but it was a nice guy, and he would help some of us. He would help us with faces and paint, and we would go, him and some friends, he'd help us put paint on and make the little clown noses, and we'd go to hospitals and visit with the students.
Oh, fun.
Under his direction,
fun.
You know.
That's great.
It was kind of fun. All right, you're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS, and we'll be right back after the break.
Do you make me smile, please stay for a while now, just take your time.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but We're Too Numb to Ask, here on AM 1230 WYTS. And thank you for joining me. And also I'd like to thank my guest, Dr. Carol Anderson, who is Dean of the OSU College of Dentistry. And she's been with us in the studio and is going to be here throughout the show. Our phone number is 821-1230 if you have any questions for Dr. Anderson. Okay, what we want to do is we have just a few moments left, honestly. The show goes so quick when we're having fun. One more guest to the question of the day came in from Cheryl. Cheryl guessed 40% of dentists said there would be a drop in demand, or has been a drop in demand, for in-office tooth whitening since the recession began. And because I'm afraid I'm going to get sidetracked with talking to Dr. Anderson, I'm going to go ahead and give the answer. The answer to that question is 69%. So 69% of dentists are saying they're showing that there's a decrease in the amount of people who want tooth whitening. That's a little bit high, in my opinion, although it was a survey of 101 dentists. Of course, this was nationally. At my office, it doesn't seem to be near that high. In fact, it almost seems to be going up a little bit, but I don't know. But anyway, that's the answer to that survey. All right, now, there are some exciting things going on at the College of Dentistry, and I know that, can you please tell us on May 1st, there's an event going on at the dental school, and then on April 30th, I guess I should have said them in the reverse order, but April 30th, you have what?
Is it April 30th is the oral cancer screening?
No, actually, April 30th is the post-college assembly.
Oh, post-college.
I'm sorry, I just wanted to go chronologically in order. April 30th is post-college assembly, and then May 1st is the oral cancer screening. So tell me about those programs and how would people...
Post-college assembly is our annual, it's a big CE event, and it's also the reunion of the 50th class reunion.
Wow.
Called the Golden Buckeyes.
Wow.
So that's been a tradition at the college for many, many years, and then a variety of CE programs are offered at the same time. This year it's at the Blackwell, and I think I have the number. It's on the college website.
Okay.
We have all the continuing education. You can register on the college website.
All right. And so that would be the post-college assembly. So that's
correct.
For the doctors
continuing education. Right?
And then am I right that the students that present their clinical excellence day cases, do they also present them at post-college?
Sometimes. They have posters or something.
Okay. But then the research ones specifically
right.
do. They
right.
have their posters. And then oral cancer screening, because it actually is oral cancer screening week, April... I want to say, I should know this, but April 26th or something
like that, right.
And so what's the College of Dentistry doing?
On May 2nd, there's an oral cancer screening day, which is without charge. You just come in and come in for an oral exam, screening exam for oral
cancer. What day of the week is May 2nd? I thought it was May 1st, but I could be wrong. And I might have a typo. So do you know what day of the week it is? Maybe we can...
Oh, no, that was... You're May 1st.
Is it May 1st?
May 1st. I'm sorry, I apologize.
Okay.
I was looking at post-college assembly that goes through May 2nd.
Okay, so May 1st, and I'm just going to see if I can figure out what day of the week that is so that people will know. Of course, I'm sure they all have calendars, but I'm going to try to help out. May 1st happens to be a Friday. which is good because some people... And this oral cancer, one person dies every hour from oral cancer, or I'm sorry, is diagnosed with oral cancer, okay. And about a third of those people will die within 5 years if it was not caught early.
Right.
Survival rate is only 20% if it's not caught early, and 80 to 90% if it is caught early. So it's a good thing to have done, and it's free, right?
It's free. You just walk in. It's just on a walk-in basis. You know, I think the other interesting thing is we do have some research going on in the college that's related to oral cancer and in the early stages, whether or not it can be prevented, some preventive.
Oh, wow. See, that's something new.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't know that. Maybe we could have the people that are doing this stuff put this anti-cancer stuff in their chicken gum instead of what they're doing. That's such a nasty habit.
It's a dangerous habit.
It is, yeah. I have personal experience with my brother's father-in-law dying of oral cancer from the snuff. Not a very pleasant death. All right, now, something else that is exciting that's been going on is late last summer, the college unveiled a mobile dental clinic. Can you tell me about that?
Well, actually, we've had the mobile dental clinic for several years, but last year we received a large gift from Delta Dental to continue the mobile dental clinic. And what the clinic is, the dental bus, we call it, is it has three operatories, and it goes around to the schools in Franklin County and treats children who have unmet needs. And one of the differences in our program is that we do the actual treatment. So it isn't just a screening clinic.
It's right.
We actually do the treatment.
They're real dental chairs.
They're real dental chairs, and we do the treatment. We fill their teeth. We pull their teeth if it needs to be.
So you go there. You do one day might be the exam and the x-ray visit, so to speak, and then
right.
you come back in a month or so,
that's
and
right.
these same children
the
who were diagnosed.
That's right. Do the treatment.
That's
right.
really great.
And
that's
it's really great. Very, very exciting. And we've really met a lot of needs out there of kids who haven't had dental care.
Yeah.
And they need it.
That's wonderful. And I know that there's also this excitement that there's going to be either major renovation or a new building or something for the dental college.
Well, that's we need a new building. Everyone's in agreement with that. I think the issue for us is when and where and how. there's a master plan for the medical center, and of course we're right in the middle of the medical center campus. And the university has hired some consultants having to do with construction in universities going forward in the future. And so we're waiting for their advice on this, how it should be done. So far, what they seem to be saying is that we need to build buildings that are self-contained, that everything's in one building. We need to share more facilities.
Okay.
So that might mean that there'd be an educational building, for example, that all the health sciences students would be in their building rather than, for example, the dental college having its own classroom.
Right.
And the clinic, the same way, the clinic might be attached to the medical clinic, an outpatient facility.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the ideas that we have. Down the road, we do need new facilities, but also given the state economy, the amount of money coming from the state for state construction has gotten less and less and less every year. So we also have to be responsible for funding a fair amount of that on our own.
Okay. So
that's the other part of our strategic plan.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll have to work on that. We do have to go to a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS.
So hear me when I'm saying, smiling faces, smiling faces.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking here on AM 1230 WYTS with Dr. Kvitko. And I'm joined in the studio with Dr. Carol Anderson, Dean of the Ohio State University College of Dentistry. She's been a great guest and so gracious to get up early and come to the studio to be with me today and to be with you. Okay, so we have just a few minutes left before the show ends, and I want to, there's just a couple things, a couple quick questions. Can you arrange for me to have my picture taken with Dr. Gee?
I'm not sure about that, but if you go where he is, it's likely to happen.
Yeah, all right. The other is, how does a person become dean of the dental school? I mean, how does that happen? Obviously, it's a very prestigious title, and I just wonder, what's the process?
Well, typically deans come up through the ranks, the academic ranks. Start out as teachers and professors, which I did at the University of Colorado. And then I did that for a while and moved on to the University of Rochester as an associate dean and then came here as dean, which is a fairly typical career path for deans. They come up through the ranks and then sometimes serve as a department chair or associate dean and then a dean.
Wow. Okay, so it's a long, basically arduous course
to get there. It's a long course, right.
And is it something that you can let it be known that you want to be a dean? Because are there people that want to be dean but no one knows that, so they never become one? Or how?
No, I think individuals, and myself included, realize that we wanted to have an administrative career, that we were interested in administration, and so then I think you do the things you need to do that put you in that position.
Okay. All right, this might be the last question we have time for, but if not, I have more where this came from. So the question is, you I'm sure you know that I was a part-time faculty member at the College of Dentistry. I did that for 20 years. I was a clinical instructor in the radiology department. As a student, I always appreciated the real-world experience that the part-time faculty members brought to the table. How do you see the role of a part-time faculty member, and is it any different than a full-time faculty member, and what's the ratio of part-time to full-time? Three-part question, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, we have a lot of part-time faculty. I think we have almost 100 part-time faculty, but that doesn't amount to a large FTE, full-time. And we can't get along without them. And we really need them. They're in all of our clinics. The students value them, as you did when you were a student, because they bring that. I think they also come to the college very interested in teaching. That's why they're there. They don't have to be there. That's why they're there. And they're interested in the students. So they're very important to our mission. The difference between part-time and full-time is that part-time faculty are hired for just that
right.
teaching. Full-time faculty, of course, have to do research and publish, and they have a wider range
more of responsibilities.
Besides.
Right. All right. I really appreciate you being on the show. Maybe we can do this again sometime because we're... That would be great. We have that on tape. Thank you very much. We'll tune in next Sunday, and we'll be right back here again. Thank you very much for tuning in.